Well, thank you, Simon. Good evening, church. It's good that we can be together on this Sunday evening. I'm going to look at this psalm, our first few verses of Psalm 37. In life, we have to do a lot of waiting. We have to queue. We need patience. I guess some of us this week have spent time in waiting rooms. Maybe we've had a doctor's appointment and we've had to wait for our turn. We might have had a visit to the dentist. We've had to wait our turn. Sometimes we go for new employment. We have to wait for our interview. I spend a lot of time waiting at airports, on aeroplanes, waiting to meet people in restaurants, cafes. We all wait. I find that as the years go by, that my patience is something that I've always got to look at. Maybe it's just getting older, I don't know, but maybe I was more patient in my younger years. In life, we look forward to different events, a special holiday, a celebratory meal, a football match. The believer, the Christian, looks forward to heaven. We do not know when the Lord will come or call us home. And so we wait. You know, whilst we wait, there are many situations in life that can cause us to fear. Two big wars going on around the globe in the current time. We know there are many other conflicts in nations. When we consider the flimsy state of the economy, when we see the rising tide of sin and violence around the world, all these things would conspire to steal our joy and to steal our peace. And when we take time to look around, when we see the lives of the wickedness prospering, when we see all this, it renews that ages-old struggle of why the wicked prosper whilst the righteous seem to suffer. This was the problem that Job had all those years ago. It was also the problem that was faced by Asaph in Psalm 73. And if we keep our eye on the world and all the turmoil that is going around, we will most certainly live in fear and uncertainty. And whilst there are many reasons that we would be fearful, we know that there is an enduring peace when we have a wonderful relationship with our loving Heavenly Father. Tonight, just in these first few verses of Psalm 37, we're going to look at the thoughts of David. He was an old man when this song was recorded. We see that in verse 25. He says, "I had been young, now I am old." And through his years, through those things that he had to endure, those difficult circumstances that caused fear to come upon his heart, but through all of the adversities, David learned lessons about God and God's faithfulness that gave him a wonderful peace as he waited to leave this world. And we too can learn from the learnings of David this evening. And tonight, in spite of the fact that we live in a world that is in chaos and uncertain, we can encourage one another in the things of God, and we can still enjoy peace in the Lord. A peace that passeth all understanding. And we can learn from the lessons that David experienced in his life. Those lessons that teach us so much about the struggle that the righteous face over the prosperity of the wicked. And there are six quick lessons, and they will be quick lessons this evening through this psalm about the waiting room of life. And the first one, in verses 1 and 2, we see that the righteous person's discovery. It may seem on the surface that the wicked man is prospering and that he is enjoying life to the full, while the righteous man suffers. And this can cause the righteous man, in my Bible, the word is fret, and it's repeated several times in these verses. The word fret means to be anxious or annoyed or irritated. And sometimes these emotions will come to the fore, particularly when we think of how the wicked are seemingly prospering. And the psalmist said here, don't be angry when the wicked seem to prosper. Just look at their future. And when the righteous man takes time to think life through, it becomes obvious who has the advantage. The wicked man, in verse 2, it says that he will be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Here for a while, but then snuffed out, gone. On the other hand, the righteous man knows that even when life gets tough, when it ends, he will be in heaven with the Lord and spend eternity in a place where the problems and the pains of life are not permitted. It says in Revelation 21 and verse 4, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Instead of envy, we should feel pure pity for those who do not know the Lord. Secondly, in verse 3, the righteous person's dwelling. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Rather than envying the wicked man, which might cause us to become more like him, David says that we are to trust in the Lord and always do the right thing in life. And when we do, we can be confident that God will take care of us. This had been David's experience. And the child of God learns to live in absolute confidence in his Lord and also find that he can dwell in a place of safety, assurance, and provision. The third point about the righteous man's delight. We see this in verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Instead of delighting in the things that please the flesh, the righteous man is called to find his ultimate source of joy in the Lord. The wicked man seeks pleasure in the sins of the flesh and all that the world can provide. He eventually will realize that there is no satisfaction in these things. But the righteous man finds his source of pleasure in the Lord, because the Lord never changes. Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, one of the greatest mistakes we make as the children of God is when there are problems in our lives and we focus on the problem and not on the Lord. When we're concentrating on all that is going wrong, we are unable to concentrate on the glory of God and upon his purpose. But our true source of happiness is when we rise above circumstances and situations, and when we rest and wait on the Lord. Life is a race. It's often fraught with problems and difficulties. But if we keep our eyes on the right source, we will find that the race is much easier to run and that our peace in the Lord is much easier to maintain. Our fourth point is our dependence. In verse 5 and 6, David says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. And whilst the wicked seem to prosper, the righteous also have a promise for help in this life. We are told to commit our way unto the Lord. The idea is, instead of worrying and fretting, the righteous should learn to cast his burdens on the Lord, to trust God to take care of such things. God is a sovereign God, and our dependency is on him this evening. There are many scriptures about casting care on to the Lord. One such verse in 1 Peter 5 and 7. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. We need to remember that when we can worry and fret all we want, but it will not speed up the Lord in what the Lord is going to do. The Lord's timing, the Lord's way, and the Lord's purpose is contra often to our timing, purpose, and way. God will take care of our concerns this evening. And I'm sure we've all come into this place tonight with various concerns. But the Lord knows each and every one. And in God's timing, he will take care of them all. The righteous man is also told that he will be vindicated for placing his faith in the will of the Lord. And those who trust in God never need to fear that faith, that those things will fall away. We will never be a laughingstock in the sight of the devil. In the end, faith in God will always, always pay out the greatest dividend. The next point is the righteous person's discipline in verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. Instead of allowing the antics and the sins of the wicked to cause us to become angry, to burn with fear and worry, we are told to rest in the Lord. We need to be very careful in allowing ourselves to be worked up into a rage over various things that are happening locally, nationally, internationally. We are to wait patiently on the Lord to work out his plan and in his time. You know, when we consider various things that are happening around the world tonight, when we consider the evil in the world tonight, you know, the abortion industry is killing over 4,000 unborn children every single day. And it's very easy for us to become angry when we hear such things. The pornography industry makes billions every year as it destroys the innocence. It's hard to refrain from anger. When we think of the drug abuse that is killing a generation and destroying the lives of and devastating families, it's hard to stay calm. Instead of relying upon anger to bring about change, we are called to exercise godly wisdom and use other weapons in our battle. And our weapons in the conflict we are waging are not carnal or material. They are very much spiritual. In 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." We therefore need to determine to put on the whole armor of God and rest in him and trust in him to give the victory in his time and in his way. And the final point this evening, the righteous person's deliverance, verses 8 to 10. In verse 9 it says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth." Again, we are cautioned against anger. Instead of anger, we are commanded to be free from such thing and free from fear and worry. We are reminded that in the end, we will win. Eventually, the wicked man will perish. Even his place and his memory will be stricken out forever. But the righteous man will endure, and he will be delivered in the end from the power and the presence of sin. There are those who become discouraged as they see the wicked prospering, themselves struggling, or are tempted to throw up hands and say, what's the point? But we are reminded that what we see in this world does not even give us a hint of what will happen in the end. One day the pleasures of the wicked will end in the pain of eternal destruction, whilst the problems of the righteous will end in the palaces of heaven. And so, in conclusion, whilst we wait, it often looks bad for the people of God. There are times when it seems that the worldly crowd is winning. It seems like the church is languishing. It appears that somehow our faith in the Lord is not paying off as we thought it would. When those times come, we should not be envious of the lost man who seems to be prospering. We need to remember that the story is still unfolding, and we haven't lived through those last scenes. We need to keep our eyes on the sky, to wait patiently for the Lord to finish his plan for the ages. For we know, like David, that the best is yet to come. May we be encouraged this evening as the people of God. We live in a troubled world, but we have a wonderful, loving, heavenly Father who cares for his children day in and day out. May God encourage each one of us to keep the faith and keep going on in the things of the Lord. Amen.